steady.
This is a dream come true. This is a dream come true, here to be here with Z, doing this. And it's koa wood, which all the best boards are made from koa wood.
All right, now, I drew this pattern as a guide. Now, do you want to have your board with a lot of rocker or just a little?
I don't know. I guess I'd like...
What you want is something in between, trust me. I'm the expert here, okay?
Okay.
So, here are your shaping tools. Now, remember, the board's already inside there, see, somewhere. And what you're doing is you're trying to find it. You know, reveal it.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Every carve counts. Why are you smiling? Don't smile.
I'm not smiling. I'm just, you know, I'm excited.
This isn't like hacking a piece of ice. You know, it takes patience and finesse.
All right, already. I'm trying. Can you just give me the tools, please? Sheesh.
All right, here, take it. Take
okay.
It. Go ahead.
Thank you. Here we go.
What are you doing? Look, if you're going to do it, you do it right. All right, look. First of all, with the grain. With the grain. You see what I'm doing here? You let the tool do the work, you see? Just like you're riding a wave. You let the wave do the work. You don't fight the wave. You can't fight these big waves, Code. Long strokes. Loads of finesse. Find the board within the tree. Nice and easy.
Yeah, I got it.
See that? You just...
Maybe I could do it now, okay?
With the...
Can I do it now?
Can I do it now?
Yeah, like that. Got carried away, sorry about that. It's your board.
It's my board. Okay, with the grain, I got it.
Don't forget to eyeball it.
I got
once
it.
Once in a while.
Okay, long strokes with the grain.
Not too long.
Here we go.
You're doing it wrong.
Will you just let me? I can't. No finesse when you're in my face. Okay? Just let me make the board.
Do you want my help?
No, I don't want your help. I don't want your help.
Oh, you don't want my help?
I don't want your help.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Fine.
I just want to make my board.
Build the board yourself, man. All right.
Thank you.
I don't care what the board looks like. You're the one who's got to ride the day.
Fine. Right? Thank you.
In there somewhere, go find
it. I want to walk over there, please. Please.
Don't cut yourself.
Oddly enough, I think I related to that a little bit too much. The more I watch it, the more I think I see myself in it. I'm not sure I like that. But as you know, Chris and I went away for a few days to Tennessee last week. And one afternoon, we went to a Christian bookstore. And we're checking out, and the clerk asked us if we wanted to be on a mailing list, and because we can buy some things online, they had some good promotions, we thought some things were money for the church, we said, sure. So, you know, Chris is giving the woman our information, and the fellow at the other register right next to her over here is Ohio, and he begins to talk. Now, he's standing there with a check for the customer that he's waiting on, getting ready to process it, and so he begins to ask us about Ohio, and says he was originally from it 16 years ago, and he goes through this whole thing about when he came down there for college and met this girl, and he's talking about he went back and forth, right down to the rest stops he would stop at and the Taco Bell he would eat at, and then he starts talking about his parents who then moved to Kentucky so he doesn't go back. I'm just going on and on, you know, and I'm thinking, this woman, if that was me, you know, waiting to have my check done or my, you know, purchase made, I'd be getting, in fact, I was getting impatient thinking, he's slowing up our transaction, and I'm on vacation, and I'm getting impatient, you know? And so this woman's kind of nodding her head, and she was kind of going along with the story. So, you know, it just makes me think about where maybe I'm at with my patience or impatience. But patient is defined as bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. Defining patience is one thing. Being patient is quite another. For the past few weeks, we've been studying on the fruit of the Holy Spirit as stated in Galatians chapter 5. And it is but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And today we find ourselves at patience. And as a King James and the New King James says, long-suffering, patience or long-suffering. And long-suffering is an interesting word. When you first think of a patient person, you might not think of them as suffering. Yet when you are the one struggling to be patient, the word suffering takes on a whole new meaning of what it means to be patient. And there's an old cliche, of course, patience is a virtue, and all of us want to be considered a patient person. It's kind of like the prayer, you know, Lord, I want patience, and I want it now. And I've actually had people tell me, I don't want to pray for patience because to develop it because God will bring circumstances in my life to develop it. Well, I'm thinking, I got plenty of circumstances in my life to develop patience. Amen? I don't think God has to work anything up, and it's His goal and design, as we'll see this morning. But I suspect while we want to be more patient, we all have a ways to go. We are in an instant society, our culture. We are not used to waiting for anything. We get fast food. We have high-speed internet. We have instant access to movies, movies on demand on our TV, I mean, on and on. And impatience has filtered into every aspect of our society. It's right down even to relationships. It's rare that you will find a person in our culture and society that is willing to wait for sexual intimacy until marriage, as an example. Impatience. Instant sexual gratification is clearly portrayed in TVs and movies. We see it on and on. So impatience is filtered in to all parts of our society. One could hardly describe our culture as a patient culture. And this is a good place to remind ourselves that Scripture tells us that we're in the world and not of the world. It is not the world's standard and our surrounding culture standard that we seek after, but rather God's standard. And you could say that the fruit of the Spirit goes a long way in defining God's culture. Early on the list, we find patience. Now, patience is a divine attribute of God, and we need the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to fully develop patience, to understand what it is to have patience and to be patient. We recently looked at John chapter 15, and Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. How appropriate is that scripture when you think of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we've looked at in weeks past that this fruit is harvested. It's fully ready, fully matured, fully ready to be picked. And this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not our fruit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what He is developing in us as He nurtures us and works with us. And so the closer we are to the vine, the healthier our lives will be. And the closer we are to the vine, the more of the Holy Spirit's fruit will be exhibited in our lives. We will not accomplish this on our own. Since patience is a divine attribute of God, then exhibiting patience in our lives will require divine discipline, a drawing on the discipline of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And perhaps patience best illustrates how without Christ we can do nothing, although it really is weaved through the whole fruit of the Holy Spirit. Patience has been called love on trial, love defined, love refined, love purified, selfishness defeated. Lack of patience is demanding your own way. And lack of patience is really a lack of humility. The truth is, patience is often developed through difficulties and trials. We can say we're going to be a patient person, but we really don't learn patience until we've worked through things. One definition is enduring trials or pains without complaint. And when we first think of patience, we likely think of being patient with people. And that certainly is applicable. But we find there are many other things in our life that we need to be patient with, not just people, but sometimes what God is doing in our lives or circumstances and situations. And Scripture acknowledges that we're going to have struggles, and it's the struggles in our lives that challenge our patience. And Scripture tells us that in our struggles, God will perfect us in them. And that's not one of our happy scriptures, is it? Because we don't want to hear about struggles and this whole perfection thing, you know. Just give us a video, we'll watch that, and we'll get it. But the reality is that's not the way it works. And we see this in 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and following. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Remember I said, you know, lack of patience is lack of humility. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Do you hear the attributes of patience in this? Be humble. God will exalt you in due time, when he sees fit, when he's ready. Be sober or self-controlled, some translations say. Resist the devil, be steadfast, knowing that you are not alone in this. Your brothers and sisters in the Lord are going through the same thing. And so Peter talks about this, and then he follows this up with the next verses. He says this, 5, 10, and 11. But may the God of all grace, first of all, I don't know, I reread that this morning as I was restudying this, and I looked at it and I said, I just love that expression. We could stop right here and go home happy. May the God of all grace, I mean, the great, I just love that. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, does that really have to be in the Word of God? I mean, if we could change the word, we might scratch that out. But it's there. So may the God of all grace, thank God for his grace and our suffering, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In these life challenges that we find, God is perfecting you, establishing you, strengthening you, and settling you. And notice the end result is for his glory and dominion. That all he's doing in our life. Why is it for his glory? Because you are becoming more like him, thus the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful understanding of what God's doing. And God is patient. And so we're going to reflect who he is in our lives. He was patient before we knew him with us, and he's patient with us even now in our walking relationship with him. Romans speaks of this. Romans speaks of how when we judge others, and it says we judge ourselves, because by judging others, it says we are doing the same things. And so it says we're judging it, and then it comes along and says this in relationship to that, our behavior. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? I like what the New Living Testament says. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? I like it the way it's worded. It's good. Being patient is a reflection of God. And we are all thankful that he's patient with us. We're thankful that he was patient with us before we knew the Lord, that he didn't just smote us for our behavior. And frankly, we become understanding that he's patient with us even now in our walk, as we grow, as we mature, as we're moving forward, as we are developing these fruits of the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful he's patient with me. Colossians 3 tells us that we were raised with Christ, seated with Christ, and are in Christ. It tells us to put off the old man, put on the new man who's being renewed in the knowledge of him and in the image of your personal, of your Creator. And Colossians 3 tells us all that, and then it says this in Colossians 3:12 and following. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, that's pretty clarifying there. I mean, everything I read, whatever God I've done, God has forgiven me. That I'm washed pure and whole and white in spite of myself. And that we are to forgive and I'm to forgive in the same manner that he forgave us. And look at what it's saying. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. I mean, that's patience, isn't it? Working through that. And notice that the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life begins to reflect the love that God has expressed towards you and extends it towards others. And so he's just not telling you just be patient. He's saying, this is what I've done in your life. And this love and patience that I've given you, now you turn and give it to others as well. And it's a branch's fruit expressing the essence of the vine, if you will. That as we draw from the vine and we are on the branches and he is the vine, it's the essence of the vine and we're beginning to express that. In Peter's second epistle, he writes how some had questioned, why had Christ not yet returned? Where is his promise? Where's Christ at? And what's interesting is his response to this. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Very interesting what he's saying there. And when we are impatient, we are being selfish. We are demanding our own ways. We're demanding our own rights. And in reality, we are being un-Christ-like. We've all agreed that our desire is to be more like Christ. We desire to not just be believers, but be becomers. We've been looking at that whole thought for some time now. And we've said there is more to being a believer than just believing. We are called to be a becomer. I've often said many people accept Christ just as fire insurance, just to stay out of hell. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh, I'm saved. Glory to God. Yeah, I'm good. But they live their life however they want to. And there's more to being a believer than just believing. We want to be a becomer. We want to become more like Christ. And we find that in the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We reflect what Jesus is doing. We begin to see that patience, forgiveness really are tied together. And when we refuse to endure wrong, we carry a grudge, we carry resentment. And when we're angry or carrying a resentment or a grudge, we're not spiritual, we're carnal. Because we're not reflecting the love and the grace that God has reflected in our lives. If patience is a divine attribute, and it is, then impatience is carnality. It's the opposite, it's unchristlike. And patience is enabled in us by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's really Christ shining through you and through me. What a glorious thought that is. And we know, according to Scripture, that God is love. And we see love, and we see it in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we see, and we've said in the past, that the following fruits of the Holy Spirit are all tied to love. You won't have patience. You won't have peace. You won't have joy and ongoing until you first have love. And we know that God is love. And we also recognize 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a love chapter. And look at here in verse 13, verse 4. Love suffers long. That long suffering is kind. Love is patient and kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, is not braggadocious, is not envious, and it's patient and kind. When we know when someone is not functioning in love or patience, we got back fairly late Wednesday night, and so Thursday morning I had a couple quick errands to do at the bank and headed in the office, and it was raining hard in the morning. It had been raining all night long. I woke up at 4 in the morning. It was raining pretty hard. So I thought I'd run through McDonald's for my morning caffeine. You know, it was pretty early in the morning. And as I pulled in, there was a long line. Nobody wanted to get out in the rain, you know. So the drive-thru's all the way weaving around up to the parking lot. So I pulled in off of Route 306. And as I'm pulling towards there, I saw this line. I thought, well, I don't want to block the entrance to the parking lot. Somebody may want to pull in. And sure enough, this white Cadillac had come from Bainbridge Road, and it pulled up and it stopped. So I'm assuming that person wants to go in the parking lot, so I waited a minute. Well, they just waited for a while. And I thought, okay, they're going through the drive-thru, and they recognized I was here first, and so I pulled forward. I pulled forward, and I'm kind of inching my way through the parking lot, the rest of the cars, you know, the drive-thru, rather. And I pull my money out, and I'm kind of looking down, getting my money ready. All of a sudden, there's this knock on my window. I look up, and there's this white-haired lady standing in the rain. What does she want? I rolled my window down, and she lit into me. I mean, she is one angry lady. And she said, you could have let me pull through the park, and you pulled in front of me on purpose. And I'm trying to interrupt you, and I'm gently saying, wait a minute. I thought you wanted to. She wouldn't even let me talk. She just went boom, 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 just yelling at me. I was like, are you kidding me? And I tried to say something, and she said, I don't believe it. She didn't even know what I said. I don't believe it. I believe you did it on purpose, and stormed off to the McDonald's. And I thought, that is one angry, insistent lady in the rain to yell at me. Wow. I silently said a prayer for her husband if she had one, because I was glad I wasn't married. And I'm thinking, I'm just trying to get up and get moving here in the morning, and she's trying to ruin my day. You know, I'm getting angry now. I really was trying to let somebody through, and I was like, you're kidding me, and so I had to resist that. And I'm sure she's still mad about her version of the story. She was not at all patient or kind. And being patient is not only a blessing to others, it brings us peace. It's just a reality. And when we walk around with a short fuse, we lose our witness for Christ. And it's interesting that God is equally specific when it comes to our interaction with other people, and specifically as well with our interaction with each other, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I see that our Wi-Fi has lost here for a moment, so I'll move on and maybe Skip can get that going up there. But Ephesians 4, 1 and 3 tells us this in the Living Bible. Paul says, I beg you, I, a prisoner here in jail for serving the Lord, to live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these. Be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Try always to be led along together by the Holy Spirit, and so be at peace with one another. And consider where the Holy Spirit has taken us so far in this series. Love, joy, peace, patience. That sounds like a wonderful description of a God-filled life. Amen? I mean, I've always said, sign me up for all of those. And I wonder how many times we have made excuses for our behavior instead of cultivating the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives by being sensitive to the labor and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's so easy to say, this is not who we are, this is not how we are, you don't understand, and this and that, and this, and it's like, wait a minute, what's God doing in our life? And this divine attribute of God, patience, is part of his plan and will for our lives. Paul wrote to the Colossians church, Colossians 1, so where are we at here? Here we go, I think this is it. Colossians 1, 9 and 13. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I mean, that prayer right there is a good prayer, isn't it? And you want to pray that for me anytime, just go for it, you know? And I can pray for you as well. I think it's a wonderful thing. But we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom. Notice the distinction and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Patience is long-suffering. And being patient goes beyond just tolerating somebody else's behavior. That's part of it. But being patient can mean you're working with them. And being patient can mean you are trusting God as well. Being patient means that you know God is at work in your life and he has the very best of your life in his mind for you. Sometimes it's hard to allow him to work through it. Being patient means that when you are waiting on God, you do not give up hope. Developing patience enables you to endure trials, and developing patience enables you to endure injustices. And developing patience develops and produces an endurance in you, strengthening you. And developing patience is a very clear way of discerning the presence of God in you, because you're going to need that discernment, that sense of the Holy Spirit in your life, to develop and grow in patience. And think about the incredible patience that God exhibited to Israel all throughout the Old Testament. Over and over and over, they'd fall, they'd sin, they'd come back, they'd repent. I mean, we see this continuing going back and forth, and we see this merciful, long-suffering, patient God. And we certainly consider how patient Jesus was towards his ministry with others here on earth. And while we could see many examples of his patience, he gives us a clear description of patience and forgiveness. And he did it one day when Peter came to him with a question. We see it in Matthew 18, 21 and following. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Now, what we miss out on this is that the rabbis had looked at this significantly and considerably, and they said, when somebody sins against you, you've got three times to forgive them. On the fourth time, you don't have to. That's what they're saying. And Peter was being really generous. He knew the saying was three times. And I'm sure people were struggling with that. And he said, "How about seven?" And Jesus said, no, far more than that. Seven times, 70 times seven. And in reality, Christ wasn't trying to give a specific number. I mean, I haven't gone up to 478 and getting close, you know, on somebody. It's like, it's not the issue. Some of us keep lists, I know, but I mean, that's not what the point here is. He's saying there was no limit to forgiveness. It would hold in that there was no limit to patience. But God's calling of us to do. And I'm glad he's not keeping numbers on me. Because I'm sure I've gone past the 490 long time ago. And don't look so sanctimonious, because I know some of you have as well, too, you know. And it's easy to see that we're not going to do this on our own. We have a day when, for whatever reason, we're feeling pretty good, things are going well, and we're a little more patient that day. We're more patient with a difficult situation, and we start to feel pretty good about ourselves. And we find out that, come to the realization, we're not to have patient moments, but a patient life. Hey, man, I've had some real patient moments. You know, there's times where you're just very graciously patient with people or circumstances, situations, but the question is, do we have a patient life? Are we developing this fruit of patience? And I began by saying we're an instant society. We want things now. We're used to that. And that only makes it harder to be patient. We're not a society that is generally used to waiting for things. You go to other countries even, and it's like, you're going to wait. You want a phone line, you may get it this year. And I'm not exaggerating. It's patience, and you're just kind of used to that. We are not used to that. You know, they tell us they're coming out to work on the phone line, it's between 8 and noon or you know, noon to 4 or something. We're like, really? I got to wait 4 hours and I got to be, you know, have you ever been there? I got to wait here for 4 hours in case you decide to show up. Just give me a time. But, you know, that's how we are. We're in a society. Ben Patterson writes about waiting, patience, and hope, and we'll see they're tied together. He writes this: hope is essential to waiting. Why wait unless there is something worth waiting for? There is a logic to the world's frenetic grasping for everything now. Not only does it lack humility, but it has given up on a future that is anything more than an extension of the present. Eternity is a vague unknown. The here and now is what is substantial. The world reasons that since there is no great eternal hope to wait for, why wait for anything? He goes on to express how this lack of hope infects even the Christian psyche. Christians are hard hit by this attitude. I know many believers who formally subscribe to the doctrines of hope in heaven and eternity, but who live practically as though they didn't. When it comes to how they deal with a difficult marriage, failing health, or a bleak professional situation, they live as though there were no tomorrow that shines with God's promises. They act as though there was only here and now, and they grab for much of it as they can, as they can get it. See, Scripture gives us reasons to hope, reasons to have a future. Scripture gives us a future. And when faced with an enduring trial, we Christians should remember that to wait with a patience born of hope. It's not just a tolerance, it's a patience that God is working on the situation. It's part of who we are. Psalm 130, My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. My soul waits for God. God is a gracious God. He's loving and kind and merciful and patient and full of grace. Romans 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Really? Yes, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There are translations that render perseverance as patience, and we could certainly see that's what it means. God has a plan and a purpose for you and for me. And let's work at developing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And patience sounds like a good place to work on. Amen? I invite the worship team to come forward. Psalm 86:15 tells us, "But you, O Lord, are God full of compassion and graciousness, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." I'm so thankful that's the God that we go for before on a daily basis. Let's stand and worship our God this morning.